Milanese are not born. They decide to assume that identity. You understood this definitively that winter evening, immersed in the city's fog, when soot was still an indispensable feature of the cityscape. Beyond the fortified walls, the bastioni, Milano was a seamless forest, a carpet of vegetable gardens, a nursery, as suggested by the name of the street, Strada del Vivaio, where plants were cultivated and sold to the people of Milan. The ring of the fortifications had become too small to contain the districts of the historical city. Modernity exerted pressure, seeking space. The axes of Corso Venezia and Corso Monforte, one century earlier, had begun to be enhanced by noble palaces, Serbelloni, Cicogna, Diotti, Isimbardi. Along those thoroughfares, the frontage was urban, while behind it, things remained bucolic, even rustic. This was the Milan plongé dans le verre, as Stendhal wrote, who was French by chance, Milanese by choice, to the point of stating it in the epitaph in Italian engraved on his tomb at Montmartre. Arrigo Beile, Milanese, scrisse, amò, visse. But Milan was in a hurry, anxious to get things done. The Beruto master plan from the late 1800s was redesigning the face of the city and its circulation. The city wanted to enter the new century with the appropriate splendor. New streets for the residences of the new, wealthy, entrepreneurial bourgeoisie near the aristocratic center. New buildings that spoke the language of the new century, elegant, modern, deco. That evening you were there, in your risotto martini, lost in fog. You had emerged from La Scala, ready to go home. It was in that moment that you decided to become Milanese. Because you, Angelo, came from somewhere else again. Your father was from the Lake of Monate. You were just 2 years old when the family moved to Rosario, in Argentina, where your mother had a jewelry store. Maybe that is why, many years later, Lucio Fontana often came to call at your home, not so much for his art, very different from your tastes, as to recall the same childhood landscapes, together. And you, Gigina, were from Pavia. Your grandfather worked with metals and smallware, a profitable activity at the turn of the century, so profitable that your father Ambrogio could afford to open a cast-iron foundry in the new century. The family, in short, was doing well, and your brother Vittorio, as his father's son, lost no time. He founded the Necchi Company, a factory to produce sewing machines, innovative, affordable products, and in fact, one such machine could be found in every Italian home. Vittorio, in fact, with grace and pride, enjoyed bestowing the latest model of the Necchi Portatile to the couple at every wedding to which he was invited, even to noble newlyweds. When your family returned to Italy, you settled in Pavia, Angelo. That was where you met Gigina. Your life changed again. Your father-in-law convinced you to put away your medical degree. There were things to produce, deals to be made. He wanted someone he could trust. He wanted you. Together you founded NECA, an acronym of your surnames. You produced motors for refrigerators, boilers, bath fixtures. Modernity. You held a patent for enameling cast iron, such a secret that even in the factory the process was concealed by a system of cardboard screens. After all, trust is a virtue, but... You had factories all over Italy, even supplying products to Fiat. Your offices were in Milan, near San Babila, but the house was still in Pavia. Until that winter evening, in the fog, the evening you decided to really become Milanese. You lost your way, circled around, and found yourselves on a side street. You were actually just a few steps away from Corso Venezia. Around you there were construction sites for new buildings, while others had just been completed. Then you saw the sign, "For sale," amidst the trees in a garden. You wrote down the telephone number. And then you, Angelo, Nene for your friends, considered by all to be a man of good sense, careful and wise, the very next day, without hesitation, almost on impulse, bought the whole area from Conte Cicogna. You liked fishing and hunting. You had known the enormous expanses of the New World, the calm horizon of the plains. And yet, on the previous evening, with your wife, you had decided to become Milanese, at any cost. Now all you needed was a home, suited to your rank, for you two spouses, and for Nedda, the beloved sister. Just 1 year apart from you, Gigina, you had a very strong bond, almost symbiosis. She was more timid, more reserved. It is said that she had a great love, one of those you cannot escape, cannot replace. Someone, over the years, put the rumour about that Nedda had even been courted by Manfred von Richthofen, the famous Red Baron of the German Air Service. But obviously the dates do not jibe. In the end, legends are born not to be true, but to be plausible, to be beautiful. The man who sent enormous bouquets of flowers to your sister Nedda was certainly not the Red Baron. Who knows if he was even an Air Force pilot? We don't know. And if Nedda never wanted this information to be divulged, we'd better not insist on it. For certain women, love is like the fortune of the ancients, blind, tresses over her face, nape-shaven, caught on the fly, or lost forever. A home, we were saying, and it had to be the right home. It was practically inevitable, natural, to call on Piero Portaluppi. How could an upstanding family of Milan, and you wanted to be Milanese in every way, fail to call in the architect who had redesigned precisely that part of the city? From the Crespi House to the Parvis of the Duomo, from the Banca Commerciale to the Planetarium, from the Radici di Stefano houses to the monumental building of the Buonarroti Carpaccio Giotto Company. In those years, wherever you turned, you ran into Portaluppi, who was incessantly making his indelible mark on the city and the tastes of its inhabitants. Those that mattered, and you mattered. It was a challenge, a lovely poetic challenge, to imagine a suburban villa in the heart of the city, in the nucleus of the metropolis in Nuce, right in front of the luxurious Via Mozart, where daring buildings had sprung up, to distinguish yourselves in this distinguished neighbourhood of Milan, perhaps to bring a swath of the Pavia countryside, Arcadian, nostalgic, into this new urban zone, to avoid completely severing ties with your roots. So your house was born, trying to be Milanese even in the sense of rigour, no worldly socialising, beyond what was obligatory to your position. Only a few selected friends for dinner, a stroll in the centre to go shopping. Those were luxurious outings, Gigina, along with your sister. Flowers from Fumagalli, jewellery from Spoggi or Colombo on Monte Napoleone, and the dresses. You two were always very elegant, with your hats, gloves, scarves, all carefully coordinated, purchased in Paris, Monte Carlo or Milan. Shoes made to measure by D'Agata, Ronchi, Rivolta, or acquired from Ferragamo or Capucine. You had important friends, aristocrats, maybe to compensate for the airs and graces you were lacking, trying to be more royalist than the king himself. Or perhaps trying to make the fairy tale world come true, the one pursued since childhood by you two sisters. To have regular guests like Heinrich of Hesse Castle or the young Maria Gabriella of Savoy. To share the hates of such nobility, to be worthy. So much so that the second marriage of Vittorio with Lina, viewed by you as a chantosa, a cabaret singer, chilled relations with your brother for years. In the end, affection won out, because you were a small family that existed outside time, like a little kingdom in fables, with the servants always poised and ready, crossing the garden along excavated corridors, so as not to interfere with the view of the glass veranda of the swimming pool. the first private pool built in the city, an extravagance, and one seldom used by any of you, out of excess modesty. Not even by Nedda, who lived with you for her whole life, Gigina. She was never a burden, always a faithful companion with whom to travel, chat, and shop. She loved cats, the piano, painting. She had more eccentric tastes than you did. She liked contemporary art, jealously collecting it in the basement of the villa so as not to interfere with your taste so desperately bent on achieving aristocratic elegance, so much so that a few years after the construction of the villa, as if to attenuate the modernist rigour of Portaluppi, you invited Tommaso Buzzi to baroquify the interior furnishings. You crossed the century unscathed, indifferent to novelties. You left the villa when Alessandro Pavolini transformed it into the command centre of the Republic of Salò. It was then occupied by the English and finally became the residence of the Consul of the Netherlands. When you returned, you behaved as if nothing had happened. The usual dinners for a few close acquaintances, the usual trips to Monte Carlo or around Europe. Work for you, Nene. Fashion magazines for you, Gigina. The world was being transformed. The city had become infinite. Villa Necchi Campiglio remained immobile, identical to your youthful dream. A safe heaven, a garden of delights. When, at the end of your days, you looked back on it all, without your husband, without your sister, you were afraid everything would be lost. You had no heirs, Gigina. What would happen to your creation, so well cared for, so well loved? What would become of that world outside the world, outside time, in an era that forgets its past with such haste? But you were mistaken, Gigina. Your home, your little kingdom of luxury and discretion, has found its heirs, the most obvious ones, the most natural. Your villa is now the home of all the children of Milan, exactly as you always were once you had decided to become Milanese on that foggy night almost one century ago.